let's start with the memories of that terrible time. Is it still very clear in your mind?
Well, I think for all of us, it was a long time ago now.
It is, isn't it?
Each of us had different experiences. So within our group, there were some of us that were there on the day. There were some people who were down the coast who came back to find their house had gone. And although it was a long time ago, there's still moments when it'll come up where, you'll go to look for something and go, oh, that's right, we don't have that anymore.
Because you were all in Duffy.
We were all in Duffy.
Duffy and, well, all of us. Yeah, some of the other Sinch sisters were in Chapman.
And Holder, yeah.
So still occasionally, but that time, can you remember the time that you all came together? Did you all know each other at the time?
We were all parents at Arana School in Western Creek, and some of us knew some of us. Some of us had children in the same classes, but we didn't know each other as a group. And it was actually through the school that we were able to come together because the school was so supportive in those first few weeks.
I imagine. So this book, The Sinch Sisters, what a cracking name.
We think that was Alison.
Yeah.
Really?
She's our pun master.
Yeah, you got it. And I think it works. Not that I know. I like to play with a few words.
After time, we did let the blokes, some of our partners were like, what is this you're meeting and you keep making this amazing food? You know, and they started dropping hints. So eventually we let them come along to some of the, you know, they now come to dinners. Now they're the burnt blokes.
They had a few. Thoughts they were the
flambéed hombres. The flambéed hombres. Because some of you lost your homes completely.
All of us.
You're all completely gone.
Yes.
Yes.
Did you all stick around Duffy and the area?
Yes.
Well, rebuilt?
It's actually a little bit of a joke, actually, when people ask that, because people always say, so did you build on the same block? And we all sort of, it's a bit of an in-joke, really, because, you know, where else would you, would you build on someone else's destroyed block? But for all of us immediately after the fires, I think it was for various reasons we wanted to return to that community. So we all decided to rebuild, although Karen's...
Some of us at the time did look elsewhere, but there was, 400 families looking for places to live.
Mm.
So... I know that my husband and I bumped into Rob DiCostella at many house openings in those months after the fires as we all sort of did the rounds of all of the houses that were for sale. But all of the Sinch sisters did decide to build again.
You've got to keep the sisterhood together in the neighbourhood.
Mm. Yes.
Well, I think that was what actually forged the friendship in the first place was, first of all, to meet together and just offload and all the dramas we'd gone through on the day and the aftermath. And then it just became, well, let's keep meeting. Are you going to rebuild or are you not? And who's your builder? And where are you buying your tiles? And all of those, domestic things.
And it was interesting because while that was a lot of our discussion, but we were also coping with our kids. Struggling with the aftermath at different ages as well. I mean, my daughter was the youngest. Mm. And she was the youngest, but then up to the teens. And a lot of them struggled in different ways and had different issues. And just the sort of stuff that goes on with life anyway, aging parents, other stuff happening, illness. When you're already struggling with the recovery after a trauma, that makes it a little bit harder. So the support of having just this fabulous group of women that are all intelligent, funny, great cooks.
Yeah.
And we really want through the book to share our stories because women coming together help each other through trauma.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
So tell us about the book, the Sinch Sisters book, which is called Tears, Laughter and Champagne. Sounds like something to bond over.
Well, obviously the tears are self-explanatory.
The laughter too, I'm sensing.
There were a lot of them in those first days and weeks. There was also lots of laughter at the time and that just continued. The champagne came because each time that footings got poured on a new home, we would meet and do a blessing over the footings with a glass of champagne. And then as we moved into our new homes, we celebrated the move with lunch in the new home. And that's when we discovered how fabulous we were at cooking, and it was something that we all enjoyed. And those lunches have just continued over the years, morphed into dinners with our burnt blokes, and we still see each other regularly.
And not a burnt meal in sight, though.
Oh, the Singe Sisters the barbecue.
Yeah. The Singe Sisters does not extend to the food. Right. It's only the devastation wrought by the bushfires.
And I think the thing is that it is an amazing group of like everyone's a great cook, and we've had a couple of people who've come to dinners, you know, random people that have come for, you know, friends for various reasons, and they always turn up and say, "Oh my God, this food is amazing!" And we often have themes. We've had, you know, we had Turkish, Mediterranean themes. We do a spring theme.
We had a red, white, and blue theme for Julie's 50th birthday.
Yeah, because
she's our American friend.
Okay,
yeah.
So you guys America's do it well. Have you written the book yet, or it's just a collection at the moment? What do you need from the community?
What we need from the community is money. That's why we've launched the Possible campaign. There's obviously some upfront costs in a project like this, especially we want to do justice to the food and the stories with some beautiful photography, and that's what the main amount of money will be going towards. So we've launched a Possible campaign. We've got 27 days to go to meet our target.
What do you need? How much are you looking to raise?
We're looking to raise a total of about 7.5.
I feel like Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Sorry. Let's hope we make it
Let's
through.
Taste the cake. I reckon the cake will get it across the line.
But the we're about 6,000 to go in the next 27 days. But the pledges are to pre-purchase a copy of the book, get a signed copy of the book, buy one for yourself and a friend, and there's a big pledge for somebody to come and have dinner with us.
Oh, what a fabulous thing.
And I will say, it's not just the recipes. This is also a book that goes into the stories of what happened for each of us and our experiences. And Karen and I actually went down after the 2009 bushfires went through Victoria. I actually went down twice with a couple of sisters to talk to bushfire-affected communities in the Yarra Valley. And just to hear, I said to Karen at one point, the mere fact that we're standing here and we look okay, you could see the relief on their faces, like, oh my God, we can actually get through this. And to share our stories of what we'd been through and, you know, that things get better and it is hard and there becomes a new normal and it's different to how your life used to be. And dealing with trauma of, you know, facing the fact that you may not get out of this in one way or another, which for a couple of us was the experience. So it is a story of stories of resilience and triumph over living through trauma and recovery. And we really want this to be a book that will help other women particularly, but other people around Australia, that we have fires, bushfires every year, floods. There's always something going on, and I think maybe even it's a book that could go overseas to help other people.
Yeah.
So we really hope in sharing our stories really vulnerably and sharing our recipes very generously that people will hopefully be moved by it and it will help some people.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for sharing the story with us. And I know the generosity of others in this situation comes out of nowhere, and often it is in the form of food as a way of support. Did you experience
that? That's right. The Orana community is especially good at always turning up with a meal when you most need it, and they certainly did for the families that were affected after the fires.
And I think for all of us, just that giving back, you know. The Canberra community was so amazing. I mean, what we were given after the fires, the help. I remember on the first night people were turning up with food, like literally the night of the fires, and clothes for the kids. But within 24 hours, all my kids had bikes. You know, I don't know what some of
them. Yeah, fabulous. I want to talk about this cake because handed to me across is Liz Walter, apparently has been sold as the fabulous dessert creator extraordinaire.
Alison's the dessert.
Oh, Alison. Oh, Liz carried it.
No, Alison. It's Liz's cake.
Alison is the dessert maker of choice because she makes these amazingly creative cakes. This cake is just one that will go in the recipe book because it's easy to make, it's got simple ingredients, and it tastes wonderful.
And it looks wonderful. It's covered in a rich chocolate icing and then sprinkled in cocoa. Tell us where this recipe came from, Liz.
This recipe came via my aunt by marriage, Auntie Pat, who passed away last year in Yuendon in her 99th year. Good country cook, and Auntie Pat was born in 1917 in England during World War One. Her father was Captain Thomas Duffy, who had come from New Zealand, sailed over to Egypt with the Anzacs, been evacuated from Gallipoli and then trained to be a pilot with the Royal Flying Corps. So while he was in England doing his training, he met Auntie Pat's mother, Ina Dufour, who coincidentally was also born in New Zealand of a Maori mother and a French father, but she was adopted by a lovely English lady who then took her back to the UK when she was still a young girl after her parents died. And she was raised in genteel circumstances. And the family eventually moved out to Australia after the war. Auntie Pat got married in 1942 in Brisbane, when Brisbane was occupied by Americans. She married her... she married her cow cocky, or sheep cocky husband, moved up to Uanda, which was a sheep station up in the country, and that's where she had to learn to cook seven children.
Oh, and this cake looks like it would feed probably seven children. They'd devour it like a swarm of locusts.
And all the shearers.
And the shearers. It's a huge cake. It looks incredible inside. I'm just going to have a tiny taste and you girls are going to have to miss out until while we go to the news. You can eat it in the green room.
It takes me right back to a country kitchen.
Well, it had to be
moist,
made with
delicious
with ingredients that were available.
It's wonderful.